Okay, several things. Well, one of them is, I'm not used to you people sitting in different places. You know, I'm used to people sleeping in other areas of the church. Okay, not necessarily here. Okay, however, second thing is, I think on the plane I got some kind of an infection. And so it's on my eyes. And so I won't touch anybody, okay? My attitude usually is to grab everybody, but it's not a good idea. And so I went to one of these the emergency care places yesterday, and the guy said, it's just an infection, it'll be fine, but you gotta get these drops. Well, no store had these drops. So until Monday, maybe, you know? And so that's just life, you know? But that's just the way it goes. So. Okay, and you know, I have a Bible all the time, but because you're only allowed to bring a certain amount of stuff on the airplane, I just use my cell phone, but I don't feel comfortable pulling my cell phone out and reading the cell phone. You know, it just doesn't seem church-wise good. Okay, so I thought I would just read it from the bulletin. And it's the 23rd Psalm, which we all know, but, what's in that? I don't know him well enough to know for sure. Okay, what's in it? Okay, thank you. But boy, it's wonderful hearing people say how the church is doing well and what a good pastor he is and a good preacher too. Not just a good, no, it's a good one. Yeah, it's good. Okay, we'll read Psalm 23, and then just for the sake of time, we won't go over every single aspect of it, but here it is. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of Almighty God. I'm just offer a prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you have seen fit to give us these marvelous ideas, and all the way from Genesis to Revelation, filled with ideas that are practical, thousands of years after you gave these. We also thank you for giving us your Spirit, and we also thank you for giving us each other. And now we pray that you would do what nobody else can do, and that is to use these according to each individual situation. And may these bring us closer to you, Lord Jesus, our shepherd. In whose name we pray, amen. Okay, so the first point when he says here, the Lord is my shepherd. And probably we all remember that the word for Lord, the understanding we get from Exodus chapter 3. Because Moses was going by and he saw this bush and it was burning and burning and burning. But it didn't consume. And as a result, he wondered what was going on. And then a little bit later on, after God has called Moses to be his representative with the Jewish people to lead him out of slavery, you know, Moses says, who am I going to say sent me? And he says, say I am. That's my name, I am. And this is awesome because the name I am means I have always been. There was never a time when I did not exist, period. Now, we've all gone through these times. I've gone through them where I think to myself, how can that be that he never had a beginning? Because there had to be a time before he came into being somewhere, but there wasn't. He has always been here, and he always will be here. Okay? And it also means that he gets in and of himself who he is. Now, every one of us needs something from somebody else and from him. But what he's saying here is that I am who I am and I, in and of myself, I get everything. There isn't anything that he needs from anybody, anywhere, at all, ever. He wants from us, but he doesn't need anything from us at all. Now, it's important to remember that, because when we get to the place where, you know, you think to yourself, what do you want? He can provide anything. But he even knows what we want. And, you know, about a year and a half ago, in the church where I served out in a place called Elgin, there were quite a few people who became Christians. Like it was in Pitcairn, you know, it was wonderful. People would come into church, and little by little, God would save their soul. But in this situation, the boy said, can I say the prayer? He was about 19, and I said, sure. So he said the prayer, and part of his prayer was, Lord, you know what? I didn't say what I mean, and I want you to understand me, so let me tell you what I think I really meant. And then somebody else said, wait a minute here. You don't understand. God knows everything. He knows what you mean, what you don't mean, what you should mean, all that kind of stuff. He was just learning what it is to be a Christian, that you can never say something and God doesn't understand it, period. He may not agree, of course, but he doesn't agree. He doesn't agree with a lot of stuff that we say and do, but this is who he is. So when it says here, the Lord is my shepherd, then the question would be, first of all, is he your shepherd, honestly? Because we think of God as Almighty God, the Messiah, the Great One, the Holy One, all those things which are absolutely true. But what he's saying here now is the Lord is my shepherd. And what we should be thinking about as far as the shepherd is concerned is somebody who is tender, loving, caring. You know, the two main things that shepherds did, they protected and they provided. Okay, and so this is what he does. And so when it talks about he provides for us, he's our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, what he's saying is he's tender and he's gracious and he's kind. Not that God the Father isn't, you know, but God the Son is tender in a specific way. And what we see, you know, the apostles, he had 12 apostles, and the apostles, they were not very tender. You know, Jesus had been teaching for several hours, and the people were hungry, and it was dark, and none of them thought, they might be hungry, and they need something to eat. And so Jesus said, feed them. And they said, where are we going to find food? They never looked to Christ and said, you can find it, you can provide it, you can do anything. They just didn't think. And as we look into him as our shepherd, there ought to be in our mind, you can look to him for anything. And he's not somebody who's going to say, jump this rope or else you don't get it. No. He'll give us what we need all the time. What he thinks we need. Because we always have to understand this psalm in light of this statement. He leads me in paths of righteousness. See? That's key. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Because when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Every one of us have wanted things. And maybe even today we are in some kind of want. It may be we need to be loved better or differently than we are now, even by our mate or our children. We all need things. And here it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And if he's the shepherd who can do anything, why doesn't he fulfill our wants? It's because our wants are not what we really want, what we really shouldn't want. And then he tells us that, as I said, in this where it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. And many times, so in preparing this, I got to thinking, okay, now what are my wants? Okay, and then some of my wants are not very righteous in the sense that they're not what God would really want me to get. And so therefore, you ought to think to yourself, okay, and maybe I can just give you maybe 30 seconds. Now, Jeremy gave me an hour. No, not really. No, maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes, something like that. And if you can just think, what are your one or two your wants? Since we're talking here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think of what are two, are they really righteous? Let's just quietly think of what they are. Okay. We'll go to the next. See, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what he's telling us here is, you're not going to want for things that you really need, that I know you need as God, period. And then he goes on to the next, and he says, he leads me in green pastures. Back in those days, you, as a shepherd, you had to find the green pastures, or else you had to provide them. And there were brown pastures everywhere. In my experience, you know, I served three churches, wonderful Pitcairn, then a church in the city of Chicago, Covenant, and then Westminster out in Elgin. And in every case, there were lots of people who were drawn toward brown pastures. Pastures that were not honestly what they're going to need, what were going to help them. But they were willing to compromise because they didn't want to do the work it takes to actually be a good, solid Christian. And so they were going after brown pastures. And you want to think to yourself, well, are you also willing to compromise and say, the Lord will lead me into green pastures, but in order to do that, I'm going to have to do this and this and wait and do this and this and this, and I don't want to do that. Well, that's not okay. We're talking about here a Lord, you know, who is the king of everything, and he's going to lead us into green pastures. Amen. And it may be that some of us here are rebels. And you know exactly that he wants me to do this, but I don't want to do that at this time. I'm not prepared to do this at this time. That's not okay. But he's very tender. As we mentioned, he's a shepherd who's very tender. And he will give us leeway and room. You know, in the psalmist says he gives us room to move in our distress. So that might be us, okay? So when he says he leads us into green pastures, it may well be that he's making decisions for you that are taking you here, here, and here, and you don't want to go there. And you got to just think to yourself, Lord, do I really love you? Are you really my shepherd? Or am I my own shepherd, and I'm willing to go to brown pastures? I'm willing to go there and take what it takes. But that's not okay. And he's the type of, you know, like a good parent, he's going to say, no. You can't do that. I won't let you do that. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Has anybody ever seen a sheep, a real sheep? You know, touched them and all that kind of stuff? Okay, good. That is good. When I went to Elgin, you know, I live in the city of Chicago, and so I don't see any sheep or cows or horses or anything like that. And so when they called me to be the pastor, I went out there and I looked and I thought, that's a cow. I just could hardly believe it. There was a cow there. And then as we went around, there was sheep and there was horses. And I thought, this is tremendous. I've not seen a live horse for I couldn't tell you how long, really. And so you just realize, wow, God has provided all kinds of things for people. But here, when he talks about the sheep, my family's all Welsh, and they've got sheep. And the sheep have got heavy coats on them. And if you get into any water that's running, they can't stand it. They can't cope with that because the wool becomes really heavy, and all of a sudden they begin to go down, and they drown. You know, and so this is what he's saying. The Lord leads us into still waters. And we can't even cope with that. Because so often the still waters are something we don't want to do anyway. So he leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. So what we're saying here is, okay, if you were settling for brown pastures, if you're settling for things that are mediocre, C or D stuff, okay, he will restore our soul. You know, some people, we all know that, I'm finished with you. You know, do your own thing, I don't care. But not God. What he's saying here is that he will restore your soul. He will bring you to the place, I go to, there's a new PCA church where I attend. And quite often, the people in the congregation will say, amen, hallelujah, things like that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. it may be that in this process right now, God is in restoring your soul. You know, there's been times in my life when I needed to be restored, and He did it. And there He is in the process of little by little changing you and giving you new ideas. And it's our responsibility not to say to Him, I'm going to fight you on this every inch, Lord. That's not right. What you do really is you bow the knee to Him and you say, you know best, and I will do what you want me to do. Amen. Okay? So, the Lord's my shepherd. I am not my own shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You see the word make? He makes me to lie down in green pastures, because so often, as we talked about, I'm ready to deal with in the brown. I'll deal with brown pastures. No, you won't. God wants the best for us. Okay, He leads me in still waters. He restores my soul. Okay, so it may well be that at this particular time, He's restoring your soul. He's bringing change in your life, whatever it may well be. Okay. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's always going to be leading us in the paths of righteousness. Amen. So when you ask Him for His will is going to be that which is godly and holy and pure. Amen. Okay, and you know that by reading the Scripture. And what I found over and over again now is that the people in our pews don't read the Scripture very much. And they certainly don't learn it. You know, they don't study it. And they don't memorize verses. And as a result, they don't know God's teaching. And because if you don't know God's teaching, you can't know God Himself. Because that reveals who He is. All the teachings in the Old and the New Testament come from His nature. Who He is. And if you don't know that, then you don't know Him. So when He says this, He will restore my soul. He's going to do it through biblical teaching. Amen. God's teaching. And it's filled with grace. You know, grace over and over and over again. Great riches at Christ's expense. Amen. That's what it is. Okay, and our nature is sinful. We sang about that in Jesus, Lover of My Soul. That's a wonderful hymn, a tremendous hymn of the church. And it talks about that we are sinful beings. And we settle for all that kind of stuff. Okay. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Well, I'll tell you this little story. Well, and that is God, He said in the Old Testament, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when I was severed in covenant, this guy said, you know what? I don't respect God. I said, how can you say that? And he said, I just don't respect Him. I said, why? He said, because He said He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's like saying you're the God of Al Capone, so-and-so, and so-and-so. And he said, I don't respect that kind of a God. And I said, you missed the point here. You are a rotten sinner like everybody else. And you could put your name in there. But what he's saying is, I am the God of Abraham. And then I said to the guy, you know, why do you want not like that? He said, because Abraham tried to pawn off his wife as his sister so that the guys would not hurt him. So he put himself before his wife, Abraham, Isaac. Isaac did the exact same thing. He tried to pawn off his wife as his sister. How can you possibly say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob stole and lied about his brother? And so, you know, you think to yourself, but of course, if God isn't willing to do that, then He's not your God either. Because God could change and include Sharon in there, you know, or Denise in there, or any of us in there. You know what He's saying? I'm the God of forgiveness. See, when He talks about restoring my soul, what He's saying is, I will restore your soul. I will forgive you for your sins. But what's the basis of forgiveness? Anybody? Repentance. You can't be forgiven if you're not sorry for your sin. You know, and it's God produces that. So you say to him, God, I'm loving my sin. I find comfort in my sin. And I need you to produce and change in me so that I hate my sin. Period. And you restore my soul. Period. And you restore my soul. And as a result, we can rejoice that God is saying, I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Abraham. Excuse me. I'm the God of... This is just water, right? Okay, good. That's excellent. Really good. That he says, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac and Jacob. I'm the God who forgives. And you can't sin too much. Wait a minute. Understand what I'm saying. You can't sin so bad that God will not forgive you. Blasphemy, of course. But other than that, and the scripture is full of examples of people who have done something wrong, big time wrong. So what a wonderful psalm. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay. You know, God inspired every word of the scripture. And as a result, you look at these things and you think it's filled with stuff here. When he says, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Most of us, just a side little thing here, when I went back to Wales about a year and a half ago, I went to the local church. My family no longer goes to church. None of them are Christians, so I just go. I mean, it's very unfortunate, you know, but I just go. And I can no longer drive on the Welsh side of the road. I just can't do it. It's just, if anybody's been to Great Britain, you know you got to sit on the wrong side of the road. And you got to sit on the wrong side of the car. And I used to do it all the time when I'd go back, but I can't do it anymore. So I just walked to the church. It's about a mile. And at nighttime, the church is at 6 o'clock and until 7:30. So then my cousin said, I'll pick you up. And I said, no, I need to walk home. So I was coming through, and there's a little sluing, which is a forest. And my cousins always say there's ghosts there. And there's goblins and stuff like that. So you don't want to walk there. And I said, I'm not afraid of them. So as I was walking through, two of my cousins, without me knowing, had gone into the forest, you know, and had gone, ooh, ooh, and, you know, I'm a man, you know. And so I thought, oh my, I don't believe this is anything, you know, but I hear it. And then all of a sudden they did one of these, and I thought, oh my. And that was, it was a moon, there was a full moon, but the clouds went over, and I looked over, because I thought, I think that's got to be, you know, my cousins. But they just kept doing that, and I thought, maybe not. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to run, run for it, you know. But the thing is, going through the valley of the shadow of death, that was very, very difficult back in those days, because that's where the wolves were, that's where the coyotes were, that's where the lions were. And he's saying here, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Amen. Okay, now, as I mentioned, you know, we would run through that kind of a valley. We're not going to walk through that. But he purposely says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because what he wants you to do is when you're going through the valley, and the valley of the shadow of death would be like some maybe major thing. You lost your job, or, you know, you lose your husband or your wife, as we know. For the Delatras, or all that kind of stuff. These things happen, and you just think, how can I cope with this? How am I going to deal with this stuff? I want to get out of this, and it's so painful, period. And what he's saying here, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's where God's going to teach us things that he will not teach us other ways. You know, these are powerful things when you learn. Where I served, out of nowhere, 14-year-old child died. Just died. He had been running and doing stuff like that. He went home, he died. They weren't even prepared for this whatsoever. So how do you walk through that? And they said to me, I don't know if I can come to worship anymore, because I can't. I'll just cry my eyes out. You got to come. You got to go through the whole process. God is a God of process. He could easily just simply say, okay, today I'm dealing with all your issues and I'm going to solve every one of them today. I've got to tell you, I did a Bible study of 20 men, and they're mostly all professional, and they must have gotten together ahead of time, sort of like a gang up type thing, you know, and they said, you know what, I'm really down, and I don't understand what God is doing in my life, and I'm tired of this kind of stuff. And another one said the same thing, and they're all lawyers or doctors or traders and things. And so I said, okay, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask every one of you. When did you grow the most? When you were down or when everything was going wonderful for you? And I said, and be honest, no lying. Okay, and so everyone said, every single one of them said, I grew the most when I had the hardest problems. I hated it, but I grew the most. And that's the same for me. I grew the most, and I grew the least when everything was sunshine. So, does God not know that? Of course he does. Does he do that? Of course he does. So when it's saying you walk through and walk, not run, you walk through the issues that are going on in your life, and you say to God, I always tell him, be merciful for me, to me, you know, be gracious, and I know you will be, and help me to learn from all this stuff, and may it be quick. So here it is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So the question would be now, how do you deal with fear in your life? You know, all of us have it. You know, you're afraid of this or that, all kinds of things. You're afraid of being alone. You're afraid of being a failure. You're afraid of not being liked. You're afraid of not having enough money. There's just all kinds of issues. And what he's saying here is, walk through this valley of the shadow of death, okay? And don't be afraid. Why? Because of the Lord. See, we started at the beginning. The meaning of Lord is, I can do everything. I know everything. I've got all power. He has never sinned. In all of eternity, God has never, ever done wrong. So he's certainly not going to start with you, you know, period. Yeah. But you got to be close to him. You know, you can't be a peripheral type of person who, oh, I show up every once in a while. I pray once in a while. I might read the scripture. You got to really, really have him as your shepherd. Period. Okay. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We'll just move on. But you don't want to have your life be girded in fear. You know, and so many people are afraid. They are afraid of different things. And it's legitimate to have a concern, you know, but to be entrenched in fear is not good, period. It's not healthy, and it's not something that really praises Christ. And he's the center of our life. Okay, even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. And here he tells us the reason why. Because I have to do it on my own. No, that's not what he's saying. See, if you memorize this psalm, he says, for you are with me. That's the key. Yeah, you can't do it on your own. Even the whole church, the marvelous church that Pitcairn Church is, you can't just do it with them. You got to have him. Yeah, for you are with me. We have to go over and over again the same thing. I do it because you're with me, Lord. And so therefore, I got to do it on my knees. I got to do praying and dependent upon you. I can't do it on my own, period. Okay, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're coming toward the end. You know, they have a rod was just a long stick, powerful, strong stick. And it was used basically. The shepherd would count the sheep every night when the sheep would come in. You know, in where my family lives, they have dogs that are sheep dogs, and they just whistle to them, and they go out and get the sheep, and they bite their ankles, and they come running to the certain area, you know. And but here we've got these sticks, and they just count them one by one by one to see how many, if all the sheep got back, Or did one of the wolves get one of them? And what he's saying here is, actually, your rod comforts me because I know that you count me as one of yours. Amen. And that nobody's going to get me, period, because I belong to you. Amen. But sometimes sheep wander. And because sheep are not real smart. They always say they're stupid and dumb, but you sort of don't want to hurt sheep's feelings, you know, and say they're dumb and stupid, but there they are. But when they see the stick, the sheep know it's time to go into the fold, and they're going to be counted. They just know that. They know the stick will protect them, because the stick is also used if a lion is coming or a coyote is coming, then the shepherd will give them a whack. And they'll run the other way. And it's the shepherd is the one, as part of his tenderness, he prepares the place every night where the sheep go. And there'll be three sections. They have very few doors in Palestine. And you know what the door is? It's the shepherd. The shepherd will lay down. And he'll have all these stones here and here and here. And all the sheep will go in there. They know they can be safe there. But they won't be safe if there's not a fourth one. And all the shepherds would do is they would lay down, period. And they would have this that rod there. And they'd be prepared to fight off the coyotes, all the animals that come to get, the wolves that come to get the sheep. And they would be prepared to do what it takes to protect the sheep. That's our Lord. That's Him. What did He have to do for us? He had to live for 33 years in the midst of filth, sin. Had to live down here where all the stuff that absolutely He loathes was going on. And not one time did He sin. And then in the end, He has to do what? He has to die. He didn't have to. He wanted to. He voluntarily did it. Okay, again, the grace of God. And so He's the shepherd who says, I'm protecting the sheep. I'll be the one that's the gate. That's why He talks about He's the door. And the door into the place where all the sheep are. Okay. The staff. I think we all know what a staff was. But a staff was also a rod. But at the end of the rod, there's a curving thing. And so when the sheep, because they wander, and maybe I ought to just a little time out and say, it may well be that there's 2 or 5 or 19 people here that are wandering from the faith. You know, there's a lot of people that are wandering from the faith. They don't go to church. They don't read the scriptures. They don't learn the scriptures. They don't practice them. So they're wandering. And so you're a wandering sheep. It could well be. And you don't want to do that. Not with a Savior like we've got. You know, if we had a Savior who just said, count me in from time to time, you know, but I got other things to do. No, that's not the case. You know, you can count me in forever about all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Really. So here's this crook, really. And when the sheep goes and they wander, and the shepherd, what? What does he do when there's lost sheep? Well, he's got 95 other ones, and so you think, if I lose 4, it's no big deal. You know, doesn't think that. He goes after every single one of them, and he's got this, and he goes, and he gets them, and he'll put it down there and pull them up with the hook, and he'll save them, and then they'll go back. And so at the end of the day, he's got every one of them, period, even though they were foolish. Now, every one of us has been in a situation where you've said, Lord, I've been foolish. I've gone to the side. I've gone after other gods. I've put other things in front of you, and I've been foolish. And I don't deserve your grace. And what's the point of grace? You don't deserve it. That's the whole point. No, you're right. You don't deserve it there, Williams. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm going to give it to you forever. Period. So your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. Because what it tells me is you're not going to leave me. When I've wandered off and I've left, And I am a Christian. I'm in Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to wander off. You're going to come after me, and you're going to find me. It's not only that you're going to come after me, but some of us are pretty good at disguising ourselves, you know, and trying to make us seem like we're not somebody who we really are, or we aren't people. And, you know, the president talks about being false. And I thought, you know, I'm finished hearing enough about being false, but still, we are false at times. You know, we put on wrong faces and things like that. Okay. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. By the way, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just want to make a quick comment. We all also find comfort in stuff that's not legitimate. You know, I retired about a year and a half ago, something like that, and I counseled 19 couples, and every one of them has gone off and found comfort in something other than their mate or their children. And it's stunning to me how many of these people, one of them will leave their wife and their kids and go to somebody else, or their husband and go to somebody else. I'm stunned, and they get comfort in these other people. And then little by little, as we go through this, I say, you have abandoned your children. Is this okay with God? No. You're right, it's not. But apparently it's okay with you. You're finding comfort in this, but you wait and see. It's only going to be temporary. See, and this is what he's saying. They comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And every once in a while, by the way, the shepherd will use that stick. Because if it's the same sheep that's going off over and over again, he'll hit the sheep in the leg, not to cripple them, but just to cause them pain so they can't run off. And they learn the lesson after two or three times. They got hit. Okay. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Would you say maybe that hopefully everybody here, you're overflowing in joy with Lord? You know, you really got a strong sense of faith, and you're doing well in that. That would be really good. And then the last thing, which winds it all up, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the end result, is that every one of us who is in Jesus Christ, will be in the house of the Lord forever. You die at the age of 50, you die at the age of 100, and you go to him, be with him forever. And none of us can even understand what forever is, but it means forever. Not at all. So I'm going to invite you to just offer a prayer to the Lord about something that you heard that's applicable to you, so when you go out of here, you think, okay, I'm going to make some changes in my life. So why don't we just take 1 minute, pray about it, and then we'll go on. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we're not earning anything. We thank you that we never lose you once we have you, and we have you because of your grace and because of your initiative. Thank you for Pitcairn Church and the wonderful beacon that it has been and it is now. We thank you for the borough of Pitcairn. We ask that you'd help all of us here to actually have you as our shepherd. And help us not to be wandering off, but help us to be under shepherds, under you, Jesus. And we want to be like a shepherd, but you're our main shepherd. And we thank you. Amen. I'm going to sing our last hymn.